firefighter, open the fire hydrant and attach the hose.
That's right. 720 WGN. Hey, Steve Dale, you're probably wondering what in the world I'm doing with that. And it's about a fire hydrant. And, you know, there's a stereotype that dogs, you know, use fire hydrants, right?
Well, it's not only, and hello, Mr. Landecker, not only a stereotype, it's actually very true.
Okay, but
because...
Wait a minute. I wanted to do something about fireworks, but because I know you want to talk about pets and dogs and fireworks, but there wasn't anything applicable, so I thought I'd go with the next best thing was a fire hydrant. So there you go.
It's close enough. Dogs feel differently about fire hydrants compared to fireworks, however. Fire hydrants, they are happy mostly to be around because of the last dog who was very happy to be around, and the dog before that, and before that, and before that. And what they do is they lift their leg, and they communicate all sorts of things with those pheromones found in their pee.
Really?
Yeah.
So I thought it was...
dogs can communicate. They can. So if a dog comes at like 9 in the morning and piddles on the fire hydrant,
right,
that dog is communicating essentially the dog's emotion and also basic information about the dog. It's as if the dog is carrying a business card, and everything on that on your business card is, imagine, everything on your business card, John, is found in your pee.
That would be a blessing. That's all I have to say. What a concept. So it's like this dog is peeing on the hydrant and leaves a message like, hey, I was here today at 9 a.m. I'll be back tomorrow around 8:30 if you care to stop by. I mean, right?
Sort of. But what dogs do, we believe, understand, is the emotional well-being, or maybe not so well-being, of the dog who deposited said pee, but also the general age of the dog, not specifically, but if the dog is geriatric or if the dog is a puppy, also the general health of the dog. Now, it's not that the dog can be diagnosed, but if a dog has diabetes, for example, or if a dog has kidney disease. Now, the next dog that comes along, I don't know what they're going to do about that because they're not veterinarians. But nevertheless, they know a lot about that dog. And imagine 20 dogs, 50 dogs pee over time on that fire hydrant. They are able to read and compartmentalize each of those dogs. We don't know how many exactly. You know, like, here's how I put it. When you walk into a deli, do you kind of get that deli smell, right?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
A dog walks into a deli. It sounds like a straight line for a joke, but a dog walks into a deli, and that dog can compartmentalize in its brain. It doesn't know the names of these things, but understands there's one smell over there that might be the pastrami, another smell over there that's close to it, but that's corned beef, another smell over there that's liver, another smell over there that's actually the lady sitting at the booth and all the hairspray she used. I mean, they are able to put in like a file folder each of these different smells.
Oh.
And we just get this one general broad, okay, it smells like a deli. But not to a dog. To a dog, that deli smell is actually 100 or 200, different smells.
Well,
it's amazing.
You know, you think about it. I mean, then I want to leave this because I thought we were going to talk about fireworks and dogs. But at any rate, you know, even as human beings, when we go to the hospital for something, they ask for a urine sample so they can check out a lot of stuff. So it makes sense that the dog would also be somewhere in the facility of the urine universe of medical information, if that's such an expression. So let's get to fireworks and dogs, right?
Yeah. It's terrifying for a lot of dogs and cats. And even pet rabbits and other pets, pet birds for sure. You know, I mean, think about it. They don't know we're celebrating a holiday. All they know is that it's this loud, really loud. Their sense of hearing is far more sensitive than ours. So this really loud sound, maybe if they're close enough, they're feeling vibrations too. Maybe if they're close enough, they're actually smelling, and they have no idea what it is. So if you're outdoors and this large, not a car backfiring, but 10 times that sound happens, you're going to jump, run, and maybe hide. So it's perfectly normal, for, in my opinion, for a dog or a cat or many other pets to do the same thing. It protects their well-being. Actually, and they're hardwired to do it. They're not thinking about it. And in fact, it's so bad for many individual pets that they're actually having a panic attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's pretty bad. Now, the good news, I've got good news. The good news is that we can do something about it. Now, the better news was if I was on 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I would talk about how to desensitize and counter condition, and there's a process that might work to at least help significantly a lot of pets. But there's no time for that. Right now, I bet, John, if you stick your head out the window, you can. You don't have to do that literally now, but you could hear fireworks.
Oh, probably. Yes. We got them. I've heard them. You bet.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not only the organized park district or city fireworks, but it's the fireworks from the neighbor down the street or maybe next door to you. So, yes, there is something you can do. There's no time at this point to desensitize and counter condition, but there is time to, if you can get a hold of your veterinarian, if your dog is truly panicking, or cat or other pet, absolutely inconsolable, shaking, hypersalivating. The fur is literally perhaps flying off that pet, maybe having accidents outside the litter box or, in the case of a dog, in the house. Mm-hmm. Because they are afraid to walk to the litter box or even so terrified that everything in them comes out of them. So if that's the case, that animal is suffering, and we don't want our animals to suffer. So what you probably should do, and I'm an advocate of this, is contact your veterinarian. Don't go to your, please do not go to your medicine cabinet and say, well, I take this anti-anxiety drug. I'm sure my pet can too. No. Please don't do that. But what you, and don't do Benadryl. Making your pet sleepy is not the solution. Imagine, John, you are now, do you like spiders?
Do I like spiders? No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So great. Now you're in a room, a very, mm-hmm. very, very small room with 1,000 spiders.
1,000 spiders?
And I give you... No, 2,000.
2,000?
And I give you 3,000. And I give you something that is going to make you drowsy.
Yeah.
So now you can't even do anything about it. And all you can do is try to stay awake and you're half asleep. To me, that is more torturous than even leaving well enough alone. An anti-anxiety drug, though, is not something that is going to make you or your pet all that sleepy, but is actually going to play around with their mind in that it will help them to feel better about things, if you will, and not be so panicked. They're not going to be happy about the fireworks, but they won't be so panicked. To make them sleepy, I think, is actually kind of cruel. So that's not the way to go. We know that now. There are a variety of drugs that can do the trick. Now, if your pet is just worried, concerned, afraid of the fireworks, then I say do some common sense things for sure. Close the windows so they don't hear them as much. Pull down the shades. The biggest thing you can do, turn on WGN radio, because then you have background sound, you know. Turn it on really loud.
Yeah.
And by the way, leave it on 365 days a year, 24/7.
Yeah.
That's good for pets and good for our ratings.
Cures everything, yeah.
I think, and also maybe a ceiling fan for white noise. Maybe, if not WGN, some classical music or something to relax, and also try to distract. So if there's kids in the house, have them play games with the pet as the fireworks are going off. Provide some treats and a food puzzle or something to distract them. So they're not happy about what's going on, but they're not absolutely terrified. And for those pets, we could do other things. We've all heard about CBD, and I'm asked about that almost every day. And there's good news and bad news. So the bad news, unregulated, and I want to warn people, unregulated by the Food and Drug Administration. It's the Wild West out there, and you never know what's in some of these products, sometimes imported from China or other countries. They don't have to offer full disclosure, and they don't. So, and bad things have been found in some of them. Don't do that. Don't go to the local, I don't know, the local convenience store, the local gas station, and get CBD.
Dispensary. You go to the local dispensary.
Well, even then, you know. So there's a couple of products that are veterinary approved, and those are the ones I'm a fan of. Just those. Because we know that veterinarians have studied that, and also Elevet is one, where, for example, they have used this product to study whether there can be an impact on anxiety. In fact, 83% of dogs, not necessarily cats, had decreased stress or anxiety-related behaviors when given Elevet Calm and Comfort Chews. I'm calling out that product because we know that veterinarians have studied that product. And it's not that it doesn't work for cats. Unfortunately, not as many studies in general in the world are done for cats as for dogs. I'm a fan of pheromones. You know, again, these are not for panic pets, just pets that you want to take the edge off their anxiety. And the other thing is that pets that are afraid of fireworks are typically afraid of other loud noises as well, like thunderstorms.
Right, you're right. Yep. 720 WGN, John Landecker along with Steve Dale. So you're wondering, Steve, why I picked that one. Well, you have a story on SteveDalePetWorld.com that everybody ought to read all the time. Moose attacks off-leash dogs in Colorado. What's somebody doing with an off-leash dog?
Oh, that's a thing now, you know.
What is?
Walking your dog off-leash. Even, you know, I've seen it, and I have pictures of it.
Come on.
On Michigan Avenue.
That's insane.
Yes. You know, it started during the pandemic. I mean, on occasion you would see people do this. But during the pandemic and post-pandemic, it seems to be a thing now. I don't know. I don't get it. Whether people say, well, I could walk my dog off leash because my dog is so obedient, or they're too lazy to put on the leash. I have no idea what's going on with that. But it is dangerous. It's not right for people who are afraid of dogs. It's not right for the dogs. All it takes is that one squirrel. Okay, maybe not on Michigan Avenue. There aren't a lot of squirrels.
You never know.
Well, on Michigan Avenue, I suggest it might be a city rat, right?
Could be.
It takes is that one. Yeah, I've seen them. All it takes is that one. And it may be great for a year where your dog is perfectly walking at your side. But all it takes is one time, and it's just a bad, bad idea. Also, if your dog is not within sight even, then or even within sight, but you can't do anything about it because your dog's 15 feet away or more, your dog can scarf up chicken wing bones or something your dog should not be eating, including rodenticide, potentially, whatever it might be. I mean, there is no good reason for this. I don't understand. Maybe in some rural places in America, certainly in dog parks, they should be off-leash. But other than that, I don't get it. And it's happening all over, not only in Chicago, but all over the country, including in Colorado and in Pennsylvania, upstate New York, and other places where there have been moose attacks on dogs. Moose also don't seem to like dogs that are off leash. And moose, they don't have a sense of humor. You know what, though? I've got a moose story for you.
Oh, well, let's have it.
In actually one of the last interviews she did, I think, I was talking to Betty White. Mm-hmm. And as I throw out celebrity, but sure. I asked her, I said, do you believe that you might, because a huge animal lover, right?
Yes,
I mean,
indeed.
She would say, I do the show business to keep up with my animal business, you know?
Right. Right.
And I said, what would you come back as? And I thought she'd say she loved golden retrievers. So I thought she'd say that or something else. But what she said was a moose. I said, a moose? They're really in bad moods all the time, and sometimes they smell. And she said, well, you should have seen me or smelled me before I showered today or something like that.
Did she ever give a reason why she wanted to be a moose, though?
I don't quite understand it, but that is what she said. She said a moose, and her reply was typical Betty White, very sharp and very funny.
Yes, and yeah, absolutely. One of the other articles that Steve Dale Pet World has, a bear dealing with angry nurses was not easy. This is in Indiana, Pennsylvania, rather. Wait a minute. Yeah, a nursing home in Indiana, Pennsylvania. I didn't even know there wasn't any Indiana, Pennsylvania. Learn something new every day.
Isn't that where Jimmy Stewart is from?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't either, but I'm guessing.
I could look it up. We don't have enough time.
That's okay. I could look
Google
it up.
Google on your own, everyone. Google on your own. So what happened to this bear and the angry nurses?
There's a couple of things that we learn in this story I'm about to tell. One is you never challenge any nurses when they are defending those who they care for. Mm. And this was a nursing home. So it's late at night or early in the morning, and the nurses' station, they hear a pounding on the window. And then they rush to where the noise came from. They go there, and they find an adolescent black bear just looking for food. And the adolescent black bear walks down the hall of this nursing home. Now, what do you do? And along the way, there are claw marks and everything, but the black bear doesn't really mean any harm. Mm-hmm. But what the head nurse did, she acted like every other head nurse I've ever met. She said, I'm going to do something about this. She grabbed a walker, of which apparently there were plenty around, grabbed a walker and ran toward the bear. Like, okay, you're going to have to deal with me. And the bear backed up into a corner, but you don't want to back a bear into a corner.
But then
another nurse said, I've got an idea, and pulled out Rice Krispie treats. And they lured...
That's great.
They lured the bear right out of the nursing home with Rice Krispie treats. At that time, the officials were there. They relocated the bear to the woods. And the bear was not heard of, at least at this nursing home. Again, they think, and this is interesting, what might have attracted the bear in the first place were bird feeders that they had right outside this window.
Yeah.
So that
would
do it. Away the bird feeders. Yeah, they took away the bird feeders as well.
Well, listen, all of these interesting articles and many, many more are available at SteveDalePetWorld.com. And, of course, Steve Dale can be heard here on WGN when?
I am heard early, and I do mean early, Sunday morning at 5:30, where I talk about pets.
Yes.
On the Pet Show. And, you know, I'm so privileged to have the best veterinarians, I mean, the best people on. And then I'm on Sunday afternoons, typically from 1 to 3. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, this week, I think you're an expert in all this. I'll hear what you think.
What?
I think he's one of the most, one of the most underrated vocalists of all time. Burton Cummings is going to be on.
Oh, wow.
From the Get Who.
I don't know if he's underrated. I think he's had a great career. I think he's got a great voice.
Yeah, an amazing voice. He should be, in my view, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Should I ask him
without question. What do you want to ask me about it? What about it?
Well, should I ask him?
Sure. Why go ahead. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, he could go in as a member of the Guess Who. He could go in as a solo act. I mean, there's a couple of avenues, but getting in there, that's a whole political pile of crap. That's not based on anybody's talent. That's just like, you know, who do you know, so to speak. At least that's my opinion, allegedly.
No, I agree with you, and that's my whole point. So I'm honored to speak with Burton Cummings. So yes. I'll be talking to him Sunday afternoon. And if cool. you don't know his name, you will recognize
him. Oh, no, people know who he is. They know. People know who Burton Cummings is. Burton Cummings is. All right. Thank you, Steve. We'll be tuning in for all that stuff. Thanks for being with us. And you did a good job, so don't ask me afterwards if you did. Okay?
I shouldn't text you?
Please not. Please don't.
Okay.
Okay, right. Bye.
Have a good, happy 4th.
You too. Steve Dale, of course.